sermon, Genesis. Let's talk about the Sabbath. We're going to go, listen, we're not even done with the days of creation yet. This is the last one, day seven, right? We'll finally be done with actually talking about the actual days of creation, but we're going to take some time to talk about Sabbath, all right? We're going to talk about what is the Sabbath, and we're going to talk about why it matters for us. You know, when I was thinking about the Sabbath this week, or I was thinking about, you know, for us and some of the, and I'm going to say confusion, because there is a little bit of confusion on the debates of like, well, what is the Sabbath? What day is it? How should we practice it? I had some memories. Those of you that grown up in Vinton, I had this memory that just made me chuckle. Y'all remember Family Foods? Do you know the only time we went to Family Foods was on Sundays? You know why? Because my mom forgot something that she needed for lunch, like making lunch. And that was the only time we ever went to Family Foods, I swear. It's like we'd leave church and mom be like, dang it, I forgot to get that. Because Fairway's closed, right? Like there was no other place to go than Family Foods. So I remember thinking about that this week. And then like I also started laughing where Libby loves Chick-fil-A. Anybody else had the Sunday Chick-fil-A cravings, right? You're down in Cedar Rapids, like, what do you want? Chick-fil-A. And then it's like, dang it, it's Sunday. And you know, you can't get it, you know? So we all kind of have this remembrance, somewhat, of a time when, you know, Sundays weren't the way they kind of feel now, even. There was a time where Sundays were definitely our culture shut down even more. And that was really connected to this idea of Sabbath, or an idea of a day of rest. Right, and so that we're all on the same page, especially if you're kind of hearing this word Sabbath, and you're like, well, what are we talking about? Sabbath ultimately is, it's a day of rest that God established for humanity, and we're going to look at that, where we see it in creation, and then we're going to see it in other places of Scripture. The word Sabbath literally means to stop or to cease, and we're going to see that this comes from the fact that when God instituted it, he stopped his work. He stopped creation. He rested on that 7 days. So the Sabbath has always been understood as it's a time where God has given it to us, where we are called to stop working, to stop striving, to step back from normal responsibilities, and to have a day that is, or a time that's set apart to focus on really what matters most. And this is why I think we wrestle with this so much, or at least why I wrestle with this so much, is because when you think about Sabbath, unfortunately, some people have turned Sabbath into, it's about a day to be lazy, right? Like that, it's a day of rest. It's my day to be lazy. Well, that's not ultimately what Sabbath is about. That's not why God gave it to us. And that's why I think there's some confusion with it. Because it's not just about, like, that's my lazy day. That's the day I get to kick back in my recliner and just watch football all day. Because it's the day that I get to be lazy. It's the day about me. Listen, Sabbath was not given to us to be a day about us. Sabbath was given to us to be a day that focuses us and realigns us to him. It's a gift given to us, a rhythm that was given to us to realign ourselves on a weekly basis to our God. And we're going to see that as we look through this through Scripture, because we're not just going to focus on creation in the seventh day. We're going to see how Sabbath is found throughout Scripture. This truth of Sabbath is woven throughout everything in Scripture all the way to Jesus himself. So, again, some of the confusion towards this idea of Sabbath is there's this temptation to become legalistic towards it. There's this temptation to become like, well, what is the day? What should it look like? What should we do? Right? So, Jewish tradition, based on the Jewish calendar and the Jewish understanding of Scripture, in Jewish religion, Sabbath would be Saturday. It begins on Friday evening because their days go from the evening into the next day. So theirs would be Saturday. In Christianity, though, when we look at the New Covenant, we see that Sabbath for Christians in the early church and then throughout time, even to now, there was a transition where it went from being this idea of Sabbath on Saturday, or the Sabbath being observed on a Saturday, but it moved into Sunday. In Scripture, we hear it talked about as the Lord's Day. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail with that. In fact, I thought it was kind of interesting. I put it in my notes to say this. It kind of gives us a reason to have another podcast because we'll go deeper into that. We'll go deeper. We'll actually plan on recording that this week to go deeper into this shift from Saturday into the Lord's Day. What's the Lord's Day and why did the church make that shift and what does that look like? So I'm not going to go into that this morning. But here's what I want to do. I want us to look in Scripture and see where this all comes from. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. So we make this transition from chapter 1 into chapter 2, the end of the sixth day. And I'm going to encourage you to use your Bibles this morning or encourage you to use your tablets or your phones because we have a couple sections of Scripture that we're going to look at here in a little bit that I'm not going to put on the screen. I would rather us actually get into Scripture and look at these chunks and process through that. But some of these I'll also put up on the screen. So Genesis chapter 2 says this, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." So here's where we see the establishment of God ordaining or blessing the seventh day, setting it apart as holy. Here's the beautiful thing about this. All the days of creation are holy. But God made a reason. There was a reason that God marked this one day, and we're going to see that here in a second on the practical side of why Sabbath is so important, and then we're going to look at it from a theological side, why spiritually it's so important. But notice here when the Sabbath is created, when it's ordained, when God blesses it, there's no command there. There's no dictate, like God is not demanding anything. He's not commanding anything. Moses is just telling us that this is what happened. This is where the establishment of the Sabbath was. But then if we fast forward to Exodus, this is where the command comes in. And Exodus chapter 20 is where we get the Ten Commandments. Sabbath is not mentioned again until Exodus. So there's this huge section of time. Even though it's a short section in Scripture, there's this huge section of time where we see the blessing of the seventh day, but we don't actually hear the Sabbath talked about until the Ten Commandments. So in Exodus 20, it says this, "Remember," this is Exodus 20 verses 8 and 10, "remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your sons or your daughters, nor your male or female servants, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." So this is where we see the command. I want you to see these as we start this conversation, to see these two scriptures together. We see the creation of the Sabbath, and then we see the command of the Sabbath. Now, let's just take a moment, let's just lay the groundwork on why this practical side of the Sabbath is so important. Can we all agree that life is chaotic at times? Busy? Stressful? Isn't it interesting that we live in a time where for decades now, new technology has been formed, new technology has been created, and it's always told us that these great advancements of technology were meant to actually make life easier and to free up time and to actually make it less chaotic, but we live in a world that is more chaotic now than it ever probably has been in human history. In fact, I think if most people would think about it long enough, I think most would confess that maybe it's not all the time, but maybe this is true of you, maybe it is all the time, but I think we could all agree that there are seasons in our life where we are slaves to our schedules. All we're doing is running from thing to thing to thing to thing. All it is I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta go, I gotta get to the next thing, I gotta get into the next thing, I gotta get to the next thing. And if we really stopped and looked at our lives, isn't it interesting that many times we could look back and we could look at the last month, the last week, we could look at the last year, we could look at the last decade. And maybe we feel like we weren't in control of what's actually was happening. See, here's one of the things that I find interesting about time. I remember hearing this once. Dave Ramsey shared this. He was talking about money, and he said, if you were building a house for $10 million, and you sat down with the contractor, and you sat down with the architect, and you were going to spend $10 million of your dollars, you would be invested and involved in every aspect of where every penny was going. Like, there would be none of this, well, what are you doing with my money? I don't care. You would want to know, where are you placing my money? What am I paying for? Who am I paying to do it? What's the schedule? What's the time frame? This is what I want the cabinets to look like. This is what I want the carpet to look like. Like, you would be completely invested in every penny that's going out from you. But isn't it sad that the greatest thing that God has ever given to us in many ways is time, but we don't do that with every minute. We don't do that with every day. Many times our days are dictated by somebody else instead of us. Many times the decisions we're making is being dictated by somebody else rather than us. Because we're always chasing the schedule. We're always chasing what's next. I thought this was an interesting statement I read by one theologian that said, hurry and busyness is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. That one of the reasons that we fall into this trap of not living out this beautiful life that God has given to us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, that we don't invest, that we don't experience all that God wants for us, is because we have fallen prey to the enemy of hurry and busyness. I fall into it all the time. How often do we say things like, well, I haven't been in the Word of God for a while because I just can't find the time. I can't sign up and be part of that because I just don't have the time. I can't be used by God in that way because I just don't have the time. Because we can fall into the enemy of hurry and busyness. You know, when I read that statement, this was the thought that came to mind. If we live in a culture of busyness, then being people that embrace the importance of Sabbath is actually us living with an act of rebellion or a spirit of rebellion. It's not rebellion against God. It's God calling us to rebel against the way that everybody else chooses to live. And as Christians, are we not called to live different than the rest of the world? If the rest of the world is trapped by hurry and busyness, should we not intentionally look at our own lives and say, how do I not give in to the trap of how everybody else chooses to live? And that's the beauty of this thing that God has given to us, this gift called Sabbath. So before we get to the theological aspects, I want you to see that there's some practical reasons why we should embrace this truth, this gift of living out the Sabbath. And when I say that, I want you to realize that that's what we're talking about here is that taking time on a weekly basis where we rest, that we pause, that we spend time to break free of the normal routines. Now, I want to say this on the outset, because as we talk about the Sabbath, what we could fall into is a trap of, again, legalism. Because I want to understand this, that legalism is not... Jesus dealt with legalism when it came to the Sabbath. Like, Jesus, even in his own ministry, the Pharisees and the religious leaders were yelling at Jesus, and they were judging Jesus, and they were condemning Jesus because you're not following the rules of Sabbath, Jesus. So I want us to realize that you have to be willing to step out of this and not fall into legalism. So here's what I mean by this. When I say, like, rest from work, that might look different for each person. So let me give you an example. There might be people in this room that you love to garden. Gardening sucks to me. Like, that is not Sabbath rest. But some of you would be like, man, I go out and you get me outside and you allow me to work in the yard. You allow me to get in the garden. You allow me to be just alone in those moments where I'm with my thoughts. And I just love it. Listen, don't fall into legalism that it's this idea of like, you got to understand that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day had made it such this legalistic thing that they said, if you lift your finger too much, like, you know, they would make everything you do sin on Sabbath. Right? So don't fall into a legalistic trap of you have to do it the way that I do it. You have to look. There's a heart to Sabbath that we have to embrace. So I want to say that on the onset here is like when I talk about work, don't think I'm talking about, well, it's the Sabbath or this is my Sabbath, so I just got to go sit in a chair and just sit there. You know? No, it's meant to restore us, and we're going to talk about that. So here's some practical things I want you to see about Sabbath. First is this. Did you not notice that before Sabbath, and I've already mentioned this, but did you see that before Sabbath was a law, it was meant to be a rhythm? Right? So again, we fall into this trap of the law of it, the command of it, but it was never meant to be a burden. Sabbath was not given to be a burden that is upon us. It was meant to be a rhythm of life. Because notice what happens. When God created everything, the Bible says that God rested. He took a day of rest. And what we need to understand is God is not resting because God is tired. God was not exasperated at the end of creation. He didn't need a day off because he just couldn't give anymore. See, the Bible speaks directly against that. The Bible says very clearly that God does not grow weary. God does not grow tired. God is not like us. So the reason God rested was not because God needed a rest. He was establishing a rhythm for us to follow. So we have to understand that he was creating a pattern for his image bearers to follow. So notice, the end of chapter 2, or the end of chapter 1, we see the creation of mankind. We are created in the image of God. When we talked about that, we are called to be his representatives. We are called to represent him in creation. We are called to be his image bearers. So the next thing he does is he sets up a rhythm. He says, now as my image bearers, follow my rhythm. Follow the pattern that I have created for you. Right? Do your work and then rest. And notice there's more to that rhythm than just that. Here's the rhythm that God has created. We are called as human beings to work. We are called to produce. We are called to be active. We are called to be engaged. Right? Work was not a part of the fall. We talked about that, that when Adam was created, he was put in the garden and he was told to work. But then God says, Adam, you're not me. Like, I am God, Adam, you are not. So I've created you. Because you are a created being, you need to do your work, but you also need to rest. Because, Adam, you're going to grow tired. You're going to need times to pause. You're going to need time to refocus and restore yourself, Adam. So work, but then rest. But again, there's more to it than just rest. Because notice what Scripture tells us, that when God created everything, remember what God said after he created everything? He delighted in his creation. It is very good. Like, the rhythm that God has created for us is work, rest, but also to delight. You know, isn't it interesting that the world, that sometimes our chaotic lives that we live, the last thing that most of us experience on a daily basis is just the enjoyment of delight? Like, we don't even take time to delight in things anymore. Because we're always on the run. We're always on the go. We never get that time to just, like, reflect and enjoy it. You know, listen, I am not a creative person. Like, when I say creative, like, I don't build things. I'm not that. That's not my skill set. But it's funny because we bought a couple things, pieces of furniture. And last couple weeks, I put it together. And listen, some of you guys in this room probably could have put it together in 2 hours. Not this guy, right? I'm the guy, sometimes it's like I'm turning the thing. Like, it's like, this makes, anyways, took a little bit longer. But I'll be honest, when the work was done and it was together, isn't it nice just to step back and go, huh, I did that. Delight in it. I mean, I delighted so much in it because it actually looked decent. It looked good. I took pictures and sent it to my wife. Look. It's staying together. But that's the rhythm, like delight in this life that God has given to us. Delight in the work that we get to accomplish. But see, here's the other part of the rhythm that we forget. Sabbath is not, again, just about rest. It's not about, again, laziness or not doing anything. It's about delight, but it's ultimately about worship. It's a day set apart for the Lord is what it was intended to be. When God first installed it, he said, it's not just about you to just go do whatever you want to do. It's about you pausing and spending time with me. It's about you pausing and delighting in me. And we're going to see that as we go deeper in this when we get into the theological stuff. But I want you to see that's the rhythm: work, rest, delight, and worship. I want to point something out that I don't know if you've ever noticed before about why rest is so important. Again, we get caught into this production mentality. I got to be doing something. I got to be accomplishing something. We think rest is inactivity. We think rest is wrong. Do you not realize that Adam's first day of life was actually the day of rest? Adam was created on day six. The first full day of Adam's life, remember, day six wasn't his first full day of life. He was created on day six. His first full day of life was a day of rest. Adam didn't start his existence by running out and doing work. His first day of existence was just enjoying the presence of God. And see, we forget that sometimes because we get trapped in this. It's all about what I do instead of who I am. See, that's the beauty of Sabbath. It reminds us our existence is not determined, our worth is not determined, our value is not determined on what we do. It's not determined about what we produce. It's not determined by what we offer. Our value is determined by who we are. Amen. And who we are is the beautiful, wonderful creation of God. And Adam, that was his first experience, was a day of rest in the presence of God. So here we see it's a rhythm that God has given to us. Again, the second thing, the practical aspect of the Sabbath is it's meant to be a gift of restoration. Again, that rhythm of rest is God wants to restore us. He wants us to be working out of our rest, not resting because of our work. Do you notice the difference in that? Sometimes we push and push and push and push, and then all we have to do is we have to rest because we have no more to give. God doesn't want us to rest from our work. He wants us to work from our rest. And so here's what Sabbath does. Sabbath was meant to remind us of our limitations. It's meant to be a reminder. It's a gift given to us by God to say, you're not God. God is God, and I am not. Sabbath should humble us to remind us that our identity is, I am just a simple creation. I'm a creature created by God. I am not God. Right? When you think about this, Sabbath is meant to restore us physically. It's supposed to be an opportunity for our bodies to just decompress and to rest. Sabbath or resting has been proven scientifically that our stress hormones decrease. Anybody here deal with too much stress and anxiety? Right? You might have a Sabbath problem. Because Sabbath was meant to be a reset, a restoration, a time on a weekly basis to allow our stress hormones to decrease. It allows us that our sleep doesn't suffer, right? When we rest and restore physically, it allows us to make decisions better. It allows us, this is the one I thought was funny when I was researching this. Anybody got an irritability problem? Good job. Nobody looked at their spouse. But this one hit me for a moment because, like, man, yeah, I can that related, because when you started getting into this pressure of just do, like, all of a sudden it's just like, man, I can see that in my own life. Like, I get short, I get impatient, I get irritable, I get frustrated because I'm not allowing my body to just settle and be restored the way that God has called it to be. He created it to be. There's restoration, not just physically, but then emotionally and mentally. It gives us moments to learn how to slow down our mind, to again interrupt that anxiety, to reorient our priorities, to reflect. You know what's interesting about most people? I mean, I know I'm this way. Maybe you are. I don't want to assume anything for anybody. But do you know that Amy, sometimes she feels bad for me with this, because we go to bed normally at the same time. Usually she's asleep within just a matter of minutes. And I lay awake in bed until like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I can't shut my mind off. It's just constantly running through stuff. And I know one of the reasons that happens, that God is kind of challenging me, that he's like, David, you're not taking moments throughout. You're not finding times to just slow down and reflect. Your body, like, your mind's trying to play catch up all the time, because you're in do mode all the time. And that's not the way I designed you. Right? Times of reflections. You know, many of our emotional struggles intensify when we don't take time to just process life. And this is actually, again, something that's been scientifically proven, that a lot of times the emotional struggles that we deal with is because we don't allow ourselves to process anything. Because we're constantly on the go to the next thing, and we never allow God to meet us and just to process where we're at, where we're heading, what's happening, and the things that are going on. I thought about this one also with emotional and mental restoration. And how I can fall into seasons and times in life where I don't experience a lot of gratitude or joy, or maybe God's presence or even peace. And God challenges me with that, because he says, David, because you're not allowing it for your life. You're not prioritizing these moments where this is where I want to restore you. This is why I've given you this gift of Sabbath. It's to find reasons as you process for gratitude. I'll give you a great example of this that I know is part of my life, but I see it all the time in people. You ever been in a group of Christians? Like, maybe you're in life group, you're in a small group, maybe you're just having a conversation with somebody. And have you ever had this question brought to the group, where you say, hey, let's take a few minutes. Everybody share, where have you seen God show up in your life this week? You ever been in those conversations? The reason I'm sharing is because a lot of times when I've been in those conversations, you know what it turns into? Like 5 minutes of awkward silence as people are like, where has God shown up? And like, people are racking their brains to try to figure out where God showed up in their life this last week. To me, that's an example of a lack of Sabbath. Because there's no time of process. We don't spend time reflecting. We don't spend time allowing God to reveal things to us, because we're always so busy and on the go. And we don't experience maybe the gratitude and joy and presence and peace that God wants in our lives. At the same time, there's also spiritual restoration. So we have physical Sabbath, we have emotional, mental, but there's also spiritual restoration. Sabbath was given to us, again, as a rhythm of intimacy and trust. It was given to us for us to experience, so that we spend time in the presence of God in intimacy and trust. Here's what I mean by trust. I think a lot of times I'm guilty of this one also. Well, I can't rest because I got to get it done. I can't rest because that has to be done and finished. Like, I can't take a moment of pause or breath because there's too much to get done. Do you see how that's not actually trusting God? Because if God really wants to get it done, he can get it done. You know, there's been times in my life where God has actually challenged me on this, where I've fallen into this mindset where it's like, I got to get this done, Lord. And God's actually, I know he's shared this with me. God has actually shown me. He's like, David, yeah, you got it done, but the thing that took you 10 hours to get done, if you would have just trusted me, I could have helped you get it done in an hour. Like, I'm the God of the universe, David. Why do you think pausing something to spend time with me would make it so that I can't help you get done the things you need to get done? See, there's a trust issue here. And there's an intimacy issue. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some times that there are some things that, yes, it's like this has to get done. Jesus even talked about this. Jesus, when talking about the Sabbath, he looked at the Pharisees. He said, listen, any of you, if your donkey fell down in a hole, you're gonna rescue your donkey. Like, you're not going to leave it there until tomorrow. So Jesus even expressed there are times when, yes, you have to do the things that you have to do. But I think when we really get honest with ourselves, a lot of the times we don't really make things that are really important. We make things like this urgent, like they're not that urgent. They can hold off. They can hold off for a time. They can hold off for a moment of pause and for rest. Right, so again, it's not just about I'm doing nothing, but it's about prioritizing what's really important. Again, spiritual restoration. Sabbath was about worship. It was about to come and to spend time in the presence of God. Again, it wasn't just about me doing what I want to do, but it was to find time specifically to worship, to be in the presence of Jesus, to be in the presence of God Almighty, to give him the praise and the time that he is due. Sabbath also helps keep us rooted. The spiritual restoration, it allows us to be rooted in our relationship with God and not simply drift back into acting like the rest of the world and looking like everybody else. It causes us to put a safeguard to say, I'm not going to behave like everybody else behaves. I'm not going to do just like everybody else does. The last thing when we think about restoration, just for a second, I want you to realize, and then we'll go to the rest of this, is there's also a restoration of our relationships, and there's a restoration of being connected. Sabbath was meant and given so that families can connect to one another, so spouses could connect to one another, to fathers to connect to their children, to mothers to connect to their children, for extended family to spend time together, for the church to gather together, for the people of God to make connection. It was the chance for relationships to be restored, for relationships to be built, for connections to be made. You know, I think all of us, if we stopped and thought long enough about our childhoods, again, not knowing what your childhood was, but I know especially for mine, the memories that I carry were not that are dear to me are not the moments of busyness as a family. It's the time where I actually spent time with my family, the time I got to spend with my parents. And I pray that that's the same thing with my children, that that's the greatest memories they have is not, oh, my dad was always on the run. But the memories of these are the special moments that we connected together. These are the moments where that we were the priority and we spent time together, not just in fun stuff, but also in worship. Some of my favorite memories, I know for me, is the times where I just get to sit when we are gathered at church and I just get to sit and I get to experience worship with my children. A few months ago, we actually had a Sunday where we went to another church because we had that Sunday off. And one of the greatest moments, again, of just that connectedness, we're sitting there. Here's my two teenage daughters sitting in this church, and I'm listening to the sermon, and I'm leaning forward, listening to the sermon. I look over to the side, and here's my daughters with their Bibles and their notebooks in their laps, and they're taking notes. And I was so, like, it was just this amazing moment of, like, God, how awesome is that? And it's got connectedness, that time together of relationships as we pursue God together. When we think about this restoration, I want you to think about it this way. When we refuse to spend time in Sabbath, when we refuse to pause and rest, I want you to think about what's really feeding that. It could be fed by a mindset that we think everything depends on us. Again, go back to that trust issue. We function as if everything depends on us. If I rest, things are going to fall apart. If I pause, things are going to fall apart. If I don't do this, nobody else is going to do it. If I don't do it, it's not going to get done. If I don't do it, everything else is going to fall apart. If I don't do it, I'm going to fall behind. We function as if everything depends on us. And when we do that, what we're assuming is that we're all powerful. I want you to think about that. Like, again, we don't think about these things, but that's ultimately the attitude. We don't walk around saying, I'm all powerful, but you know what we do walk around thinking and saying to ourselves, whether we realize it or not? I got this. I'm in control. I'm self-sufficient. I can handle this. I don't know about you, the older I get, the more I realize I can't handle anything. Apart from Jesus, I can't handle anything. And that's, again, the purpose of Sabbath, is to remind us that we are not self-sufficient. The other thing I want you to realize is we actually are burdening ourselves when we refuse to enter into a season of Sabbath, or we allow this gift to be something we embrace, because what we end up doing is we actually fall into the trap of carrying the things that only God can carry. We foolishly think that it's our job to carry the things that only God can carry. And I don't know about you, but those are some of the most tiresome moments of my life, is when I try to carry the things that only God can carry. Sabbath allows us to remember to lay the things down that only God is responsible for. The last practical thing, and then we're going to look at some theological stuff real quick. The last practical thing is that Sabbath protects our spiritual identity. Right? It keeps us grounded. I've already mentioned this a little bit, so I'm not going to go into great detail with this, but Sabbath keeps us grounded. Don't miss that this is the beautiful thing, is it's a day given unto God. It protects who I am, not what I do. It protects that my salvation, that my very existence is not determined on whether I earn it or not. It's just resting in the fact of who I am. I'm not trying to earn anything. God doesn't love me more the more that I do. God isn't angry at me the least that I do. It keeps me rooted in the reality of who I am and who He is. And isn't that a beautiful thing? Because the world, I don't know how you guys experience this, but I know this for myself. The world around me is constantly trying to steal my identity. The world is constantly trying to steal my identity in Jesus. And it's trying to force me to move back into an identity that's based on the world. And that's something we have to be mindful of all the time. Because it's constantly coming after us. So that's some practical stuff. But I also want you to see some theological stuff. Because Sabbath is so much bigger than just a day of rest. There's a deeper purpose behind it. You see, God in His grace has done something amazing for us. He created us as physical beings, right? We understand that. We've talked about that. We live in this reality. And God in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite grace has given us different, whatever you want to call them. Some churches and traditions call them sacraments. Which, I love the definition of a sacrament. Now, I'm not going to say that Sabbath, I'm not going to jump to that, but I think it fits under this idea. I'm not going to say it's a sacrament, but I want you to think about this, of what a sacrament is. A sacrament in the church is a visible, outward sign of inward spiritual grace. So it's an outward action that speaks a deeper inward truth. So let's look at our church. We don't call them sacraments. I think we normally call them ordinances. But communion would be something we would call an ordinance or a sacrament, right? We come up here and we take the juice, we eat. I'm not going to call it bread. We eat something. But communion is, and I know it's not empty, it's powerful. Communion is powerful, but it's a physical, it's a visible and it's a physical thing that God has given to us that speaks a deeper spiritual reality, right? Because God knows we're physical. Listen, I can't smell or taste Welch's grape juice without thinking about communion. Because it's been the thing that we have had since I was a little kid. Every time I smell grape juice, I am instantly thinking about communion. And it's a reminder, it's a physical thing. Baptism's another one. Listen, there's no power in the water. There's no power in being put under the water as a physical thing, but God gave us a physical gift of a spiritual reality. When we baptize, we are communicating that spiritually we have put to death the old man and we are raised to new life through Jesus Christ. It's a physical thing that speaks a deep inward spiritual reality. So here's the thing. Sabbath does the same thing. When we follow this gift of Sabbath, we are speaking through a physical pause, through a physical rest, through a prioritizing Sabbath, we are speaking a deeper spiritual reality. So that's what I want to get into and I want to show you this morning of how awesome this is when you really think about the power of Sabbath. So again, Sabbath, the seventh day of creation, right? This seventh day, the number seven in Scripture, and not just in Christianity, but across many religions, across many cultures, the number seven is actually seen as a lucky number, right? It's a very significant number. It's actually, scripturally, the number seven is actually the number, it stands for completion or perfection. When you look at numbers in the Bible, the number seven actually relates to God. Because God is the only one that is perfect. God is the only one that is complete. On the flip side of that, do you know what the number is for man? Six. Right? So numbers have power. They have significance in Scripture. So on day seven, God established it as Sabbath, as a day of completion. That's the thing I want you to see. It's a day of completion. Now we're going to look at some of this theological stuff. So here's the first thing. Sabbath reminds us, theologically, spiritually, the completion of creation. Notice from Scripture. This is Exodus chapter 20. So this is when God tells them to rest. He says, do not do any work. He's laying out this command of the Sabbath. And then he says in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the command to Sabbath, the command to rest, the command to cease, the command to pause is rooted in the completion of creation. This is important for us because, again, it's the reminder of who God is. He is the creator of all things. He's the sustainer of all things. It's the reminder of who we are. He is the creator. We are dependent upon him. He is infinite. We are finite. Creation reminds us the realities of sovereignty. That when we Sabbath, we're remembering, we're worshiping, we're realigning ourselves to the truth of sovereignty, that God is the one who's in control. That God is the one that is over everything. That Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So it realigns us to his sovereignty. It also realigns us to identity. That we are not self-made individuals. That the only reason you have what you have is because God has given it to you. The Creator has provided it for you. The work that you do is not even yours. You only do it because God allows you to do it. God has blessed you with the ability. God has given you the resources and talents to do that which you do. So when we understand that Sabbath is rooted in creation, it reminds us of who we are. I am not self-made. We are not self-made. Not just in the idea of creation, but just in the life that we live. It's all under the sovereignty of God. It also realigns us to dependency. This truth that all we have and all we are comes from him. That none of you can will yourself to wake up tomorrow morning, but it's only by a gift of God. The work that you will accomplish tomorrow is only accomplished by the will of God. The paycheck that you will get at the end of the week, only by the will of God. The experiences you have, only by the will of God. Nobody here has the power to make your lungs breathe or your heart beat. It's all by the will of God. Sabbath was meant to reconnect us, to realign us with reality. What's most important? God is the creator of all things. This is what he says in Exodus. But here's what's amazing about this. If you flip ahead into Deuteronomy, before Moses is getting ready to send the people and to take possession of the promised land, and he restates the Ten Commandments. He tells them the Ten Commandments, but he says it different this time. This time in Deuteronomy chapter 5, he says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But then he says this in verse 15. There's a completion of deliverance. He says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This time, Moses doesn't say anything about creation. He says, honor the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath because it should remind you of the completion of your deliverance. That you once were slaves, you once were bound, you were once in bondage, but the God of the universe has saved you. He has delivered you. He has made you a people. He has made you his. See, creation in Sabbath reminds us of what God intended, the perfection of it. Deliverance reminds us of what has been broken. And all that God has done to fix it. See, the reason we gather even on a Sunday to worship is we're not here to make us all feel better. This isn't a big pat on the back for us. We gather as the church to worship because we proclaim the amazing and awesome grace of God and the deliverance that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why we're here. That's why we're here, to be shaped and molded, to become more like Jesus, not so that we can go and get a pep talk that makes us feel better. We're here to worship the God who has delivered us, just like he did the Israelites. Sabbath was meant to remind them of their identity as a nation that once had been forgotten but have now been redeemed. The completion of deliverance. But see, that's the Old Testament. So before we're done, I want you to see from the New Testament, because it gets better. Because thirdly, there's the completion of Christ. In your Bibles, in Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 17, I want to read this to you. I want you to hear this in its fullness. But hear what Paul says. This is starting in verse 9 of chapter 2 in Colossians. He says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Verse 16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or notice, a Sabbath day. Verse 17, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. So this is what I want us to see. while we still are called to live by the rhythm that God has given to us. Sabbath hasn't been like removed because we still need to live by this rhythm. I am still a human being that still needs rest. Notice what Paul is saying. He's saying, listen, don't allow someone to burden you with these rules and regulations over a Sabbath day, because the beauty of what Sabbath was intended for was the Sabbath was given, one, because we needed it, but two, it was pointing towards Jesus, who is our ultimate rest. There's completion in Christ. Like, we don't have to strive to be accepted by God. We don't have to strive to earn our salvation. We don't have to strive to make God happy with us. We don't have to strive to make God love us. Like, we don't have to do any of that because it's complete in Jesus. He is the Sabbath rest for us spiritually. He is the ultimate. Notice again, just take a moment and look at verse 13. So if you have your Bibles open, this is why I want you to see it. Because I want, like, to me, this is a big paragraph. You should circle, underline it. Just rejoice in it. Again, notice at verse 13 what it says. This is what Jesus has done for us. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. Listen. Does that not make your spirit inside you say, well, just desire, like, amen, praise God. Listen, this is the most beautiful truth that we could ever listen to. God, when we were dead in our sins, made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceling the debt which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. I love verse 15. Not just that he forgave us. It's not even, like, Paul's like, that's awesome. And that we should celebrate that. We should rejoice in that. But I love how in verse 15, he's like, not only did God save us. I love this. He's like, he not only did that, he disarmed the powers and authorities that come against us, and he made a public spectacle of them. Listen, that's amazing to me. Like, do you hear what Paul's saying? He's saying, in Christ, all the things that want to destroy you, all the things that want to hold you down, all the things that want to make you ineffective, all the things that want to tell you you're not worth anything, all the things that make you want to think that this life has no meaning or value, all the things that tell you you can't be used by God, all the things that keep you from the fullness of what Jesus wants for you, God is saying, Paul is saying through the Holy Spirit, he's saying, God not only defeated those things, he made a public spectacle of them by nailing him to the cross of Jesus Christ. Church, when you hear that, it should make you say, man, that's the freedom that I want to walk in. That's the life I want to walk in. And Sabbath reminds us of that. Sabbath points to Jesus. Sabbath gives us rest in Jesus. It gives us assurance in Jesus. It gives us power in Jesus. It's the stripping away of the old life and putting on the new life. That is part of what Sabbath is about. When we gather together as the church, again, if you show up here every Sunday morning with this mentality of, we're going to go to church, you're missing out. Because this is where we come to be uplifted and empowered and equipped and called and formed and shaped so we can go out there and live this amazing, beautiful, and awesome life that God has called us to live. Man, church, gathering together for worship should never just be something we check off a box. Because when we fall into that trap, we're missing out on the amazing thing that God's trying to give to us. And I don't say that as a condemnation. I say that as, don't let the enemy keep you in that mentality. Don't let the enemy confuse you to not see the power of what God has done for us. Don't fall into legalism. Don't fall into the things that don't matter. Because what matters most is Jesus. Here's the last one, and then we're done. There's a completion of what remains. There's a completion in Sabbath. There's a completion of that which remains. This is found in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. In Hebrews chapter 4, 1 through 11, once again, Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, they assume it's Paul, but we don't actually know. But the writer of Hebrews is talking about a Sabbath rest for God's people. And he's talking about the Sabbath that was in the past and how the people of Israel didn't enter into his rest. Because of their unbelief, they didn't enter into the rest that God had provided for them. And the rest being that in the promised land. Because of their disobedience, they didn't get to enter into what God had prepared for them. He goes into that and he starts comparing that to Jesus. And I want you to see, I'm not going to read the whole section, but if you look in verses, starting at verse 8, excuse me, he's talking about, again, Joshua, who's taking them into the land. And notice what he says in verse 8. He says, "For if Joshua had given them rest," talking about the people of God, "if Joshua had given them rest by going into the land, God would not have spoken later about another day." He says, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did for him." Verse 11, "Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience." Here's what I want us to understand this morning as we end this and we think about Sabbath again. Theologically, Sabbath also reminds us not to fall short of entering into the fullness of what God has for us. Notice that it says that there remains then a Sabbath rest for God's people. And the writer here is telling us to pursue this, to pursue and to not fall short of it. It's part of what he also says throughout this section. Like, don't fall short. Don't be like everybody else. So here's the challenge I want to give us before we're done. There's two ways that we can fall short of entering into this Sabbath rest that the Bible is talking about. As you think about this. First is we miss the point of what he's saying here about the people. First, there was the people that never entered into it in the first place. So the first way you fall short of the Sabbath rest is you never give your life to Jesus Christ. That's the simple one. It's when your salvation is determined by you. You never actually surrender your life to Jesus. That's what happened to the Israelites. They didn't trust God. They didn't enter in. They didn't walk through. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So that's the first way, is you just never enter into it. You live your life with unbelief and disobedience. So that could be true for some of us this morning, but here's the one that I want us to think about, especially as Christians. The second way that we don't experience the fullness of the Sabbath rest is that we don't actually pursue it, even in our relationship with Jesus. And I'm not talking about rest as in taking a day off. I want you to see this as bigger than this. This isn't about just a day of the week. What I mean by this is when Jesus is talking about here, "Enter into my rest," it means come and take hold of everything I offer to you as a disciple, as a child of God. Like, grow in your faith, grow in your relationship, learn about me, discover more about me, worship me, serve me, live this life, pick up your cross and follow me. And the sad truth is there are too many people that claim to be Christians, and all they view that is I got my ticket to go to heaven. And that's all that matters. I'm good. I'm forgiven. But we never enter the Sabbath rest. We never experience the fullness and the power of what God has for us. Do you not realize that every day of your life is another opportunity where God says, "Enter into more of my rest"? Not rest physically, but spiritually. Enter into my rest and become more like me. I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but do you know that the purpose of Christianity, the goal of Christianity, is not just to be saved? It's not about just being forgiven. The goal of Christianity is to become more like the one who saved me. The goal of Christianity is to become as much like Jesus as I can before I die. That's the rest enter into my rest. Isn't it amazing to realize that the God of the universe loves you so much, he wants you to become more like him. He wants you to experience more of him. He wants you to discover all that you were created to be. That's not a someday, that's a today. That's why the Bible says, today is the day. Don't fail to enter my rest today. But see, the beautiful part about it is Sabbath is also a shadow of what's yet to come. Because someday I'm going to take my last breath in this life. And I'm going to enter into a Sabbath that never ends. Because of my faith in Jesus, I am someday going to enter an eternal rest that will never end. Sabbath is also a reminder us of what's to come and what God has prepared for us. So, as we spend a few moments in worship here in a moment, this is what I want to ask. Is it possible that some of you are exhausted this morning? Not just physically. Is it possible you're exhausted physically, but what about mentally? What about spiritually? What about emotionally? I want to encourage you with something. It might not be that you're just doing too much. That might not be the thing. See, sometimes we just think, I'm just doing too much. But sometimes we experience exhaustion in this life because we're carrying the things that God never asked us to carry in the first place. Is it possible this morning, if you're experiencing any kind of exhaustion, again, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, that you're carrying things that God never asked you to carry in the first place? Are you found yourself in a place where you're just trying to hold your family together? Maybe you're trying to hold your marriage together. Maybe you're just trying to hold your future together. Maybe you're just trying to hold your identity together. And the reality is we can do that for a while, but sooner or later, the weight of it all comes crashing down. Because we're never meant to carry those things. See, as we prepare to worship here in a moment, I want to give you this truth. Sabbath is not just about stopping work. It's about surrendering control. Sabbath is about trusting God and getting in rhythm with him. The Bible says to keep in step with God. That's part of what Sabbath is to surrender control. To say, Lord, these are the things I was never meant to carry, but I've been doing a pretty good job carrying them on my own, and I can't do it no more. See, at the center of Sabbath, realize, again, it's not about a day. It's about a person. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, when we start experiencing the weight of this life, the answer is not just a day off. It's not just another vacation. The answer is a Savior. It's Jesus himself. Sabbath points us to Jesus. So as we spend these last few moments singing this last song together of worship, here's my thing. If you are here this morning and you never trusted Jesus, if you've never given your life to Jesus, today is the day that you can stop striving and you can receive what he's done for you. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Make the choice to enter into his Sabbath rest. But I also want to say this. There might be some of us here that we know Jesus. You already know him. You have a relationship with him. But can I ask this question? Have you been spending your life living like it all depends on you? Have you been living your life like it all depends on you? The reality is God is encouraging you. He's inviting you. He's calling you. He's saying, don't do that. It's time to come and rest in me. Trust me. Get in rhythm with me. And then you'll experience the fullness of the life I want to give you as you trust me. As I pray, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward, but just hear this last thing. Sabbath has always been pointing somewhere. It's always been pointing somewhere from the very beginning on the seventh day of creation. It's always been pointing somewhere, and it's been pointing to Jesus. So as we close, do you need to do some business with Jesus? Father God, as we just spend a few moments in worship, I just ask you continue to speak to us this morning. I pray that you just guide us and direct us, most importantly, towards you. Lord, just guide us towards you. I don't know the circumstances of anybody in this place. Lord, I don't know the needs that we have. I don't even know the desires or wants of our hearts. Again, you know all of those things. So I just pray your Holy Spirit speaks as we worship you. I pray that though we hear your call to enter into rest, Lord, if we don't know you, I pray we hear your voice that says, trust me, put your trust in me, give me your life, and let me show you what I can do with it. Not just for this physical life, but for a life of all eternity, Lord. I pray that there be a humility to receive you. But Lord, at the same time, if we are here this morning and there are people that know you, but Lord, we're carrying the burdens of life. Lord, I pray we hear the Spirit speak to us to say, trust me. Stop carrying the things that you aren't meant to carry. You're not in control of this. Enter this Sabbath rest. Enter this trust relationship with me. Give it up. Lay it down. Let me carry the weight of that. Let me carry the burden of that. Lord, I pray that if anyone needs to do that we do it, but then you also give us the strength to not pick it back up. That you give us the strength to, again, live the life you've called us to live. And Lord, that doesn't mean that we still don't have to deal with things even when we give them to you, but let us live with that trust that you are in control, that you are sovereign, that you are the God of the universe that is in charge of our lives. But Lord, I pray there be peace upon your church as we worship you this morning. I pray there be ease of heart for people this morning. I pray that there be comfort through the presence of you this morning as we worship you and as we close. In your name we pray. Amen.